Right, well, now it's time to welcome my guests, husband and wife, author team Nick and Annette Butterworth, who are hightailing it off to do some book signings at the Chicken and Frog Bookshop here in Brentwood. So first, I must say, welcome both of you to Phoenix FM.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you. Now, first off, I've got to ask you, what on earth inspired you to start writing for children?
What inspired me? Well, I think...
both of you, but let's start with you then.
Well, I started before Annette, so she can say what inspired her. But I know what inspired me was that when my own children were born, I became reacquainted with children's books. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed reading to my children. But I also, being an illustrator, a graphic designer, I wanted to illustrate more, and I saw children's books as an opportunity perhaps of doing more illustration work. Mm-hmm. But I also realised that if you want to control what you illustrate, it's best to write the story as well. That doesn't mean to say you can write just because you want to, but I had a go and it does seem to have panned out. So that's what inspired me in the dim past.
And how about you?
Well, my first book I wrote was about a naughty dog called Jake.
Yes.
And the reason for that was that at that time, dogs were getting a very bad press, as often happens. And rogue dogs were sort of getting all dogs a bad name. And I thought, I'm not happy with this. I'm going to write about a dog who seems bad, but actually turns up trumps. So that was why Jake, the good bad dog, was brought into my mind, and I wrote it, and lucky enough to get it published.
So yeah, based on your own
dog? It was based on two dogs we had. One was called Jake, who was a really naughty dog, and another dog called Sheppy, who was a very good dog and very good at football.
Right.
So in the book, Jake is naughty but nice, if you like,
right.
And he's very good at football.
Right.
And he's based on Jake, who was a Belgian Shepherd dog, so he looks a bit like a Belgian Shepherd, but he is a mongrel.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, mongrels are always good tempered, aren't they?
Well, not always. But we didn't. He was a good tempered one.
Right. Now, Nick, your first book, I think, was B.B. Black Sheep and Company, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
And
yes.
That was just rhymes, as opposed
it
to.
It was a book of nursery rhymes, B.B. Black Sheep being Bar Bar Black Sheep. But I illustrated Bar Bar Black Sheep with a slight twist on it, as if. Have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. I made him a wool merchant, basically, selling wool on the market.
Yes.
Having an association with Romford Market, because we lived in Romford at the time.
Right.
And, in fact, if anybody ever sees that book, you'll see in that illustration that you can see through the back of the market stall that B.B. Black Sheep is selling his own wool. That there's a fish stall in the background that says C.E. Fancourt, which is my father-in-law's fish stall. In fact, the Fancourts have been on the market in Romford for years and years and years.
60 years.
60 years there, yes. And that's Annette's family.
So you gave them a free ad.
Sort of, yeah. I think they did more for me than I did for them with that illustration. But that was that book. That was way back in 81 that was published.
Right.
But, of course, I didn't write the nursery rhymes. I wasn't quite that old. But after that, if I didn't just want to illustrate things that other people had written, then of course I started to write myself.
And from there, you went on to doing the stint at the Sunday paper,
Sunday Express magazine. Yeah. Yes, I thought, how am I going to get these books out there? And I thought, well, I'll do a bit of self-publicity. I wrote round to all the colour supplements because sometimes I noticed they'd put. Feature children's books, and I actually got an offer from three of the supplements, which was the Times offered, the Observer offered, and the Sunday Express offered to feature, but only on an exclusive basis. So I just looked at the circulation figures and opted for the Sunday Express. It turned out to be an interesting move because they then offered me a strip, a cartoon strip. They said, we want to alternate with Rupert, 6 weeks on, six weeks off. We own the rights to Rupert because Rupert started life as a cartoon strip.
Of course.
And They said, well, we want to use Rupert, but we want something new. Have you got any ideas? And I thought, no, but I'll think of something.
Much shuffling of things.
Yeah, there was. And I went back home and thought, what am I going to do? And I, at the time, was working with a guy called Mick Inkpen, who is now a well-known author in his own right. Mick and I were in graphics together. And we put our heads together and we came up with the stories about Upney Junction. Upney being a
place
just up the road, depending which way you're going, up or down the road. And we did a series about Upney Junction, which was a group of deserted mice on a deserted railway station.
And from there, of course, you moved on to TV, and we'll come on to... I know you've got another thing in TV at the moment, but you also did some TV at that time, yes?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because what happened was that when the Sunday Express changed the format of their children's page, the Express magazine, there was no longer enough space for our Upney Junction slot. So I thought, what are we going to do with this? And I'd come across... Anne Wood, she of the Teletubbies fame, and in the Night Garden and so on. Very, very successful in children's TV. Well, in those days, she was doing a programme called The Book Tower for Yorkshire Television. And so I just kind of got in touch. I just picked up the phone, hoping, and got through to her. And she said, Nick Butterworth, I said, how strange. She said, I've seen your book, B.B. Black Sheep, and... I was going to feature it, but I've also just got the job of programming for children on TVAM, which was the new breakfast show. And she said, would you come and talk to me about TV? I said, I'd be very, very happy to do that. And when we met, she said, if I gave you a million children on a Sunday morning, what would you do with them? I thought, again, I don't know, but I'll think of something.
Yes, and, another panic moment.
Yeah, it was. But what happened was Mick and I put our heads together again. Mick was quite happy not to be in front of the camera. I was happier to be seen.
Yes.
But Mick was helping me to come up with stories about a little chap we called Steve. And 1 week Steve would be a motorbike courier. The next week he'd be a doctor. Then he changed his occupation every week. But Mick and I wrote the stories. I presented them. Mick wrote most of them, it has to be said. And I do bits of live illustration on TV.
It helps to be able to draw if you can do that, I guess.
Well, it does a bit, You can fool some of the people some of the time. But
not the way I draw it. Now, you then moved on, and your first solo book, I think, was Percy the Park Keeper. Where did that idea come from?
Well, funny enough, from the same jaunts in Rafel Park in Romford that... with Jake, the very naughty dog. That's naughty with a capital B. And because Jake used to chase other dogs and chase the squirrels and the ducks and the swans and things, I mean, he never caught the swans and the ducks because they could just sort of set sail. But and he didn't actually do anything bad with other dogs, but he would sort of go whizzing past them going like this. And other dog owners didn't understand. They understand he didn't like it.
Yeah.
But one winter morning when I got there, I used to go as early as I could so that there would be fewer dogs there. And as I was walking around the park one day, I saw the park keeper's hut. It had been left open while he was opening up other entrances to the park. And it looked so cosy on this frosty morning. Just looking inside, the kettle was just coming to the boil.
And I was wondering if you sort of slipped in.
Well, I felt a bit like it, I mean, the kettle was coming to the boil, and there was a dartboard there and postcards on the wall. And I thought, this is like his home from home. And then I suddenly got the idea, hey, you could actually... live in a little hut like this, a bit like a sort of caravan in this wonderful park. That could be your garden and all the animals and things. So I'm kind of thinking in the way of children's books all the time. You know, ideas come to you when you least expect it. But because I work in that area, anything that happens can be a candidate for inclusion in the story. And it was just walking around Rafel Park in Romford that that came to me. And now it's wonderful that they've honoured Percy in Romford with a little area called Percy's Picnic Place.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
They've made some wooden sculptures of Percy and his animal friends. And so how long ago is that? It's 20 odd years ago that I wrote the first Percy story.
Well, you'll be all right as long as you don't brush the dog there, but I don't know if you heard about it, but it says some lady who was brushing her dog in Romford Park was promptly fined for doing so for causing havoc and producing rubbish there.
Is that right?
Really? Seriously.
Oh dear.
Yes, seriously.
Oh
yes,
birds would take the fur and
I know. It's daft, but there you are. Anyway, we digress. How many books have you made in that series now, and what sort of age the children are you looking at?
Well, all my books are picture books, which means that the pictures form the major part of the book. And texts for picture books are from very few words up to about, mine generally are between, say, 600 and 800 words, which is quite a short text over 32 pages. The Percy books are probably maybe aimed at, what do we say, 4 to 6, something like that. But children love the pictures younger than that. And once they're interested in Percy, I've often been asked to sign books for sort of children quite a bit older than that, who are now reading for themselves.
And what about the Jake series, Annette?
Well, the Jake series are aimed at their first chapter books, or the really first readers, so that a child that is beginning to read won't be intimidated by them.
Right.
They're a bit difficult initially, but they've been quite successful, actually, with particularly with boys.
Yes.
Because they're not babyish. Although they're illustrated, and I've got colour illustrations in them, so they're nice to look at. And they're illustrated by Nick. It was quite useful having him to do that.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And so they are really... I wrote them with 6- and 7-year-olds in mind.
Right, and how many books are there?
There's 5 of them.
5 already, yeah.
I think it's only 5, not 6. Yes, so I think that I'm quite pleased that they've hit a spot, especially with boys that have found reading difficult, because they're not difficult for them to read, even if they get to 8 or 9, but they're not babyish either, and they rather like this naughty dog who sort of
That's a good trick to pull off, that one.
Well, I didn't intend it. So I did used to teach, and so I was very aware of the... to keep the vocabulary rolling. It's not all sort of simple, but there's not stumbling blocks in it for children, I don't think.
Are you both still writing? Or have you now moved to this new glittering television
very
career?
Busy. We formed a production company with our son, Ben.
Right.
And we have actually produced a series for CBeebies at the moment, based on one of Nick's books.
So you press-ganged your son into this.
Well, we didn't have to press-gang him. Right. He press-ganged us.
He press-ganged us.
He loved the book, Q-Poodle 5, and the character, and he was involved in different projects in the production world. And he just said, what are you going to do with this, Dad? It's too good to leave on the shelf. Because we'd had several attempts of people taking it and wanting to do it. So he said, we can do this. And we said, can we? And we have.
Is it a cartoon?
It's an animation series.
Animation series, yes.
And they're 11 minutes long, and it goes out at 7:35 on CBeebies every day.
Every morning.
At the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, every day.
And how many episodes have you produced?
52. Yeah, right.
Yeah. We're just coming to the end of them, actually.
So you're going to have to do a load more now.
Yeah, we've got 10 new ones going out on Monday. It's kind of, seat of the pants, skin of the teeth, or whatever. Delivering those episodes.
That makes 40, and the other 12. The last one will be delivered to the BBC in February.
Right. So then you're going to have to do a whole load more, are you not?
Probably. We'll have to wait and see about that.
I'd like to finish the first 52 first.
They're proving to be very popular. We had lovely reactions from children.
Oh, it's wonderful, really.
So that's really very fulfilling.
Absolutely,
it's really
first
nice
rate.
To be involved in.
Well, look, thanks both of you for popping in today. You're now off to the Chicken and Frog bookshop on the Ongar Road to, amongst other things, sign copies of the books. How long are you going to be there?
Until 4:30.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So...
Yes. That's assuming the children let you get away at that.
Well, yeah, it can be a bit like that, but that's lovely, really. It's great to be out there meeting the people who actually like what you do.
And, absolutely.
Unless you stay in touch, you can't just write in an ivory tower for children. You've got to actually be involved with children, and we really enjoy that, both of us.
Yes.
Well, look, that sounds great. So, you know, take your children along to the Chicken and Frog to meet up with Nick and Annette. And as you said, you're going to be there at about 2:30. So make sure that next time you're in town in this way that you come in and see us again and tell us all about you, whatever you've been up to at that point.
We'd love to.
That would be great. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.